So customer centric organizations, when they follow that outside in approach, has to consider following things related to the total user cost. Consider creating a value during the product design itself. Design stage itself should look into what value you can create. So then production and all will have a leverage. After the production, to add a new feature, it is more of a tedious task and requires more cost. Post launch of the product, after you already launched the product, suppose there is already a product being launched, then how do you add value? Now in that case, only thing that you can do is minimize or reduce the cost of acquisition. Cost is all the total user cost, which I told you, and explore how one can improve the value perception. So is there a way that you can make customers see more value in what you have been currently offering? So that's another way to create a value. So this is what organizations do when they already have a product. Customer-centric organizations following that outside-in approach, we are just trying to understand that, so that the next stage is understand the concept of net value. So far we have been talking only about value. Now you have to understand the net value. Net value is what? Net value is equal to the perceived benefit minus perceived cost. Perceived benefit minus perceived cost, that's a net value. Earlier I have explained that same thing as a say value, but here it is the net. You have to, like, now you understood the concept of total cost, total user cost. That's why I have now brought in this as a net value. Now, based on the understanding of the net value, that is in net what I am getting. So once you understand this concept, the marketer's role is to create win-win formula. As we all know that everyone likes to be in a state of win-win. So what is that value-based win-win pricing could be? So that's what been brought out by a framework developed by Valery Zethamel. Four broad expressions of the value they created. And then once you read it, you will find it so useful, because there are people of a different nature who see value differently. Different nature of a people, different customer traits who see value differently. Now you need to determine where your customers are. So accordingly, then you have to try and see offer of value. Value is low price. So there are entire set of customers, SEC low income, you know, as they say, low income group. For them, the value is low price. So therefore, Veeam bar comes out very often. Itne rupiye mein. So it's like a special price, itne rupiye mein. So they create that value. So those who are not using it also will try it out during that phase and know that you are really cleaning, less consumption and more cleaning, etc. So value is low price. For them, anything that you offer at a lower price is a value. Value is whatever I want in a product and the service. So I pick and choose what I want in the product. Now it's not customization. It is like what customer is looking in your product, which he finds valuable to him. So value is whatever I want in the product and service. And if you are offering that, then that price at which you are offering is a value for me. So sending my daughter's overseas application, two things: protection from all weather conditions and reaching there in time and confirming me that it is reached. So now when this three things that I was offering, that DHL was offering me, 400 rupees which other courier were charging, and they were charging something like 1200 rupees, I saw still a value. Value is whatever I want in a product. Value is the quality I get for the price I pay. Now quality I get for the price I pay. Now see, once upon a time, quality is like a product should last long, almost lifetime. Now I pay you price, product should run trouble free. For people are of that nature for 2-3 years, then the new upgrades will come or a new technology will come, I will want to use that product. So product value is what I get, quality I get for the price I have paid, and value is what I get for what I give. So value is what I get for what I give. So it's my ability to give so much, so I get so much. So that's how this one has to understand. The supplier himself has to understand about his customers, for them what is the value. Now once you understand that, then you can create the win-win value-based pricing. So what is the power of value-based pricing? If you use the power of value-based pricing, if you use this strategy, you are in a better position because it attracts loyal customers. Your proposition of resorting to value-driven pricing, which cannot come out of thin air, it's that you have created value, you have been sustaining a delivery of the value, you know that there are people who relate with you, you know you have a loyal customer. So now when you do that, you attract loyal customers. This method is exceptionally profitable in niche areas. So this pricing approach allows you to focus on niche category or niche segment of the customers where you offer services to create value, but you are able to also extract value. You are able to serve those customers who will not question you about what you are charging them. They will question you, are you delivering same value continuously? So that's the power of value pricing. How does value pricing work? Now that's what we are trying to understand. So that, let's see that one by one. Price the same as competitor. So first, this thing would be price the same as competitor. This strategy is used when you are offering commodity product, when you are offering something as a commodity, when prices are relatively well established, okay, such as the professional service. So it's like you are servicing, say, HR recruitment process. It's like a commoditized. Okay, everyone follows more or less same this thing, you know, they search areas, the way they find the prospects, what they do with them, it's so commoditized, okay. Or when you have no other means to set prices, or you have no other means to set price, you are unable to get hang of your costing, you are unable to determine what value customer looks in you, etc. So you do what competitor is doing, okay. You challenge them because it becomes a determine how to lower your cost so you can produce higher profit. So what it says is move with what competitor is doing, price around that. Subsequently, to survive and sustain, you have to find a way to reduce your cost so that the customer perceive better value and you are able to extract better margin. Second is establish a low price vis-a-vis the competitor, okay, in order to capture large number of customers in that market. So you can value yourself less. You may be offering more value than the competitor, but you cost price them lower so that more people will come, okay. Special packaging. What you can do is offer it as a special packaging. For example, recycle containers, gift wrapping with card, etc. So those things are the special packaging. That's where you create a value. Package deals, just for the convenience. For example, all inclusive value pack. So airlines and all many time offer during tourism period, this thing, you know, flight, accommodation, 2 nights, 3 days, etc. All inclusive so much. Okay, breakfast and the dinner and sightseeing tours, blah, blah, all inclusive this package. Okay, payment options, for example, monthly, yearly, or convert into EMI, etc. So that's also the free training. You provide free training. That's how you add value. For example, online manual, videos, audios availability. Personalized service. I oversee each account. So you tell them, I am your account manager. So any problem, come to me. Free product updates. Keep them informed, make them understand value of your innovation, etc. Often give bonus offers. So these are a few ways that how the value-based pricing works. Same as competitor, lower than competitor, provide special package, offer package deals, variation in the payment options, add the skill and training, etc. Provide personalized service. Or give a bundle, free product updates, or that's an information update and the bonus offers, you know, so you kind of do that. Building of perceived value. So now the next thing is in the value-based pricing is you reduce cost to the customer, feel there is a value, or you increase the perception that you are delivering far more better value now. So that's what is another approach we studied there at that one of the point. Where the economic value and this thing that we were referring, economic value is also called an exchange value. So now we will have to understand how you can make customer see that you are offering better. So economic value is also known as the exchange value, exchange of getting something for which the pricing that you are going to charge them. So this is the price that the marketeer would like to recover. This is what you think that you are offering, therefore you should recover so much price from the customers. Any cost basis pricing method, so if you adopt a cost basis pricing method, it is good to assess the economic value. Means you know that this is the worth of this product or this is the worth of this service. So cost based method allows you to derive the economic value. You may include to that the margin. You may include to them the margin, you may include to them the profit per unit, etc. Okay, so there are variations to that cost plus model. So once you are fixing on that, once you have fixed on this, then you have to go through certain aspects of building perceived value. So assessment of psychological values. The psychological value refers to way that a product or service creates satisfaction and delight among your customers. And that delighting point is a psychological parameter, okay, and have to be assessed given the marketing offering. You have to know what are those psychological parameters that really creates the satisfaction. Okay, you may think ambience, but it's probably the taste of your product, it's probably the hospitality that creates a psychological value for them. Okay, so that marketer should always try to know and then differentiate them. Psychological value could also be imputed to those marketing elements which have no direct monetary implications but provides a service to the customers, home delivery and various other things that provides a benefit to the customer. So that's the assessment of a psychological value. We are moving to understand building of perceived value. We discuss the subject of economic value vis-a-vis the cost basis approach adds to the economic value. You come to know actually fix the economic value of your product and the service, and then later on we are moving in a different salient aspects. So first of all is the assessment of the psychological value. So that is what I have mentioned to you. One of the popular psychological values is a quality. People always ask, what is the quality, you know, that I am getting? This monetization is also called as a customer value modeling. So perceived quality and recovering the price as per that is a customer value modeling. Apart from the perceived quality, some of the other psychological values are customer complaints that are favorably handled. This leads to loyalty. So handling of a customer complaint is of paramount importance. Brand value. This is what value your brand attracts. This can be measured as an additional attribute in conjoint analysis. Forget that conjoint analysis, etc. approach. This can be monetized as a price premium. If your brand commands a value in your target segment in the market, you can command price premium. Okay. Service failure recovery. So you have a sound service failure recovery system. So this one applies whenever the failure happens. It gets triggered and it handles the customers in a way that customer feel that he's been heard and matter was resolved so well that customers do not want to at least move away from you. Okay, so better selection manifested as a choice, quicker search, these are those other areas which creates that perceived quality to be better, offering a value to the customer. We are trying to overall understand the psychological aspects that will create value. The second, assessment of a psychology of consumption. Now the consumption psychology one is to understand. One of the important aspects of building perceived value is to understand this side of a consumption psychology also. It can be generally hypothesized as it happens that consumers will repeatedly pay higher perceived value price provided they use to pay for the product and the services more regularly and feel satisfied with that. In short, continuous utilization of your service or the product, getting the same value for money, customer will want to pay continuously higher prices. So you are able to extract. Further, consumers will pay higher prices if they judge that this product and services have a higher perceived cost. So they will also come to you where they feel that this has a higher perceived cost, will pay higher prices. They will know that, okay, this requires so much of rigor in it. So what they are charging is appropriate because at the end of it, I am getting a value. So psychology of consumption is like, one is hypothesized that more they come to you, more they are satisfied, the consistency of the experience will enable them to use you frequently. That's what one. And then consumers will pay higher prices, okay, when they see that you have a higher perceived cost built into it by the nature of it. Consumption and price charges should go together. If the consumer attention should be drawn to its increased price, and for the customer to associate the product service to his higher perceived quality. So you as a provider has to make consumer feel that yes, this is what that they are offering, or this is what they are additionally going to offer, that gives me higher perceived cost. Now we all get burdened, like for example, yesterday only there was a news that further PNG gas prices have been increased by rupees 4 a unit. Now last month also there were two rises, this month also there were two rises, and that is that your, you know, piped gas and the supplier, Mahanagar Gas, you know that he is as static, he is as dormant, he is as non-customer friendly as it is, without hesitation I can say, then you do not see the perceived benefit from that company. And therefore, you feel that price are disproportionately charged more. Products such as bottle of water served in high ambience are immediately paid for, and the customer notes the increased price paid for the service. He perceived he gets the value. So that's the same thing like a 20 rupees tea in South Indian hotel versus what person pays 500 rupees for the tea in 5-star hotel, wagera. Because then there are those additional attributes which customer knows psychologically that he needs to account for it and pay for it. Price bundling, consumption wise price bundling. So that's another way where you offer another product with the main product in such a way that also a propensity to decrease consumption, and as such consumers fail to assign a higher perceived cost to the service. This means the marketer ability to a higher perceived price is reduced. So for example, season ticket to a tennis grand slam event such as the Wimbledon may induce the customers to only attend the star-studded matches, and as a season ticket prices should be lower. So what this is trying to tell you, when you do sometimes the price bundling, the propensity to decrease consumption, you know, it leads to the decrease in consumption. So those who go for the season pass of such matches will not attend all matches, but they will kind of attend a grand event, etc. So that's where consumption psychology, you do try to sell more, but you will know that there will be many seats available during normal matches, etc. Third is a customer equity. So we have understood two aspects, assessment of psychological values, assessment of psychology of consumption, then comes the customer equity. So that's about what your brand means to the customer. Marketing has decreased its emphasis on short-term transaction. Marketing now moving to relationship marketing, especially the customer-centric organization says very upfront, you cannot serve every customer equally well, so identify those few. So that's what, you know, emphasis on marketing has decreased emphasis on the short-term transaction and has increased its focus on long-term customer relationship. Therefore, due to customer centricity, the customer centered viewpoint is reflected itself in this concept, and the matrices, that the monitoring matrices that you drive marketing management, including such metrics as customer satisfaction, market orientation, value to customers. So these are, when monitored, you get equity of the customer. Customers will know that your brand does everything to meet and exceed expectation. So that's the customer equity. Therefore, the concept of customer equity management has come in force. CEM it is known as. It's a very dynamic, of course, supported by a lot of gadgets and tools, and so to say, marketing tools. So many of them are automated. Integrative marketing system that uses financial valuation techniques and the data about customer to optimize the acquisition of or the retention of and selling of additional product to a firm's customers at a profit, and that maximize the value to the enterprise. So customer equity management with whatever that has been mentioned in between, a system that uses financial valuation technique. It uses financial valuation techniques and extracts data about customers. They do that for what? To optimize the acquisition of the or the retention of and selling of additional product to a firm's customer, those select few customers, at a profit that will maximize the value to the organization. So both to the enterprise and of a customer relationship throughout its right price. The customer will also see a value in his relationship with you. So that's the customer equity. Customer life cycle. Like you have a product life cycle, there's a concept of customer life cycle. There are 5 stages of customer life cycle. First is prospecting. They are not yet your customers, okay? But they represent potential value. They represent at least part of your target segment. They may not have come to you, okay? First time buyers. They are the one who is buying you for the first time, trying you for the first time. They are a newly acquired customers at any given point of time. They have no prior experience about your product and the brand, and the brand value, the promise that your brand makes, etc. So they are usually have a lowest retention rate. So they are this first time buyers are buyers who are trying you out. So the propensity to retain many of them is low. Okay. Early repeat buyers are still evaluating their relationship with you, still evaluating your product, still evaluating your brand. So they may come to you earlier than expected because they are trying to check you at a different intervals, okay? And then they determine what your brand means to him. So we understood 5 stages of customer's life cycle: prospects, first time buyer, early repeat buyer, core customers. So that's the 4th one. That is, the firm's product or services meets their required specifications and perceived and also actual value. This stage has the highest retention rate. So when a customer becomes core customers, they start perceiving you as having value for them, okay? And therefore, they start consuming more. You get higher rate of consumption per customer. So that's they became your core customer, and finally comes the core defectors. At some point, core customers may be willing to switch to the other competitor. This is that core defector, showing the declining phase of their customer life cycle with you. Means you are no longer going to probably be tap their life cycle. This is due to new competition, new offer coming to them, switching costs you were not able to maintain, others have given him a better proposition. So they are the core defector. So these are the 5 stages of customer life cycle we have studied. So now we come into building value through differentiation. Building value through differentiation. Differentiation is a fundamental in the positioning that you have known. Positioning is nothing but differentiating your brand from the competitor in mind of your target customers. Differentiation is much more than difference only. Unless our product or services do not deliver value in a way that customer himself can identify, feel, or can acknowledge, okay, then it is nothing of value to him. So good differentiation is about your ability to enhance your customer's differential value better than anyone else. So customer should not only perceive, feel, and know that this is what you are offering differently. So that is the value through differentiation. So these are the drivers of differentiation. If I have to give you an idea, create a unique product features or unique product performance. It should perform in a way far better than expected. Exceptional service, something that they have not thought about. New technologies, pull in a lot of new technologies wherever possible. Provide good quality inputs. Exceptional skill or expertise. You have acquired that non-beatable skill or the experience that you are offering. And detailed information. Always be ready to share, provide, and transparent information. So then the customer will be cognitively able to see what is the differentiation that you are offering, which is, as I said, is something different than the word only different. So continue to understand building value through differentiation. Few ideas that one can look for. So first is a consistency, that is, do same thing again and again without variation every time. Have you ever had the experience of taking your car to a service at your local garage? The first time you go, the job is very well done, perfectly done, the car is clean, performs well, the bill is reasonable, you are delighted, okay, and you start referring that garage. Next time the car is returned in a disgusting state, the service delivery was inconsistent. So then your differentiation, this thing has fallen flat, and you will consider them also as a me too garage. So you see, then you have a plethora or many other alternatives available. So consistency is one. Have you ever had this experience of taking, so there is no quality control. So, okay, I'm continuing, but there are certain standard lines. So second time the poor, this thing, there is no in operations. And so the standard of service you receive is a lottery. Means, ho gaya to achha ho gaya. Otherwise, I doubt. Depending on the professionalism, whom they induct, who's a mechanic, who has attended, have they put in noise behind your car while he was serving luxury car? Others were experienced guys were only attending to the luxury car. We can differentiate our services by ensuring that our customers receive absolutely differentiated service every time. Okay, not just once, but every time. So that's the consistency. Second is convenience. A major European chemical company carved out a large slice of market for its specialized adhesive. This market is dominated by large, huge companies and its commodities. Okay, suppliers typically ship their product monthly in hundreds of tons. The material is stored in a huge storage tank on site until required, locking up millions of euros. So this was a problem with others. What this company did? The supplier delivered fortnightly, guaranteeing just in time. The effect was that customer could reduce the size of the storage facility required and unlock working capital and space for the new building, for the new infrastructure that they wanted to add. Okay, by enhancing the convenience of the customer using your product, you lock them in, especially if your competitors cannot copy your method. So there are ways. This is just a very, very high-end example. E-commerce company success is due to convenience that they offer. Selection, payment, return, everything is convenience. So you see, commoditized, customized service. Okay, delivery of customized service demands deep understanding. Customized means each customer is asking for variations. He feels he got variations. Your skill set is your ability to build backend which is standardized, and customer has a select menu. He wants particular type of button, he wants particular type of threading, he wants particular type. Now this is though standardized at your end, but customer feels that he has chosen, he feels that he has customized his kurta for the wedding. Okay, because he got a chance to select the button, he got a chance to select how the golden or this thing, silver line buttons or whatever. So he feels customization that has been of a value to him. From that European consultant energy, the understanding deeply is client need, one can offer highly customized recommendation. This is also one of the consultant, in the field of energy. He was able to offer a customized recommendation. There were many who said that they are energy consultant. The service provider and the client share in the cost saving. So his model was, their model was, we offer advice, but we participate, we become a stakeholder. So what their way of functioning was, maybe some fixed amount, but later on, the benefit comes when they actually achieve the saving. So there also you as a service provider was getting a cut. The client pays nothing upfront. So here, okay, it is said, I earlier said that something may be fixed, but client has to pay nothing. Customer loyalty is assured because customers when start tasting the blood, tasting the value that you are giving by way of energy saving cost, since client starts saving the cost, he doesn't mind paying you and he doesn't mind retaining you for longer. Okay, so that's a customized service. To differentiate, you will need to following. You will have to do following things. While the differentiation, we are trying to understand what all can you do. So we have understood couple of things. How do you build differentiation? So consistency, convenience, customize the service. Okay, and then you will have to do following things. Learn all you can. Learn all you can about your customer. You must know everything about them, available from public domain as well as talking to them. Randomly, few select customers. Consider what your research says about your customer's context, especially source of pain and difficulty. So research should focus on what is it that the customer is looking at, where he is struggling, okay, what are the difficulties. Now, do you have the solution for that? Find ways of using your company's unique capabilities. Now, when you develop a solution, it should be such that others cannot do it. You only have that art, skill, technology, machinery, etc. So that's that unique way that you develop a solution, okay, which uses your capabilities, and others for it is difficult to build a powerful value proposition. Now add to that value proposition building. Learn how to deliver it persuasively, compellingly, consistently. We have learned all about value number of times before, but this is what you have to see. So learn, know more your customers, know more about them, consider what you research. So research has to be in-depth. Find ways to use your company's capabilities which others cannot imitate, and build a powerful value proposition. Thank you.